Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. So what we see today, obviously, it's a lot of pressure from government, from schools, from teachers, from social media, all of these people on the topic of homosexuality. We see pictures like this one. The implication here is that a baby is born homosexual, right? And you will hear this all the time. Like, I'm born homosexual. I did not choose to be homosexual, and all of these things. And we want to look at this scientifically. So we want to look at it philosophically, morally, scientifically as well, especially towards the end. What science actually says about these things, are they true or are they not? And we hear a lot of times phrases like this, like love is love. This is a very, very common phrase that youth and kids hear. Love is love. Let us be. Let me love whatever. And it sounds great. It sounds wonderful. But love is love is not true. What is true? God is love, right? Not love is love. Humanity and society does not dictate what love is, but God does. So He creates humanity as we have seen, and we have seen that absolute morality is a necessity for us to even speak logically, to speak truthfully. And if not, the world doesn't make sense. So God is there. He creates humanity. What does He want from us? And He is personal. He is love, as we have seen through near-death experiences and so on. So God is the one who is love, not love itself. We even see things like this now. Love is gender and age blind. And if you notice in this picture, completely at the end, at the right-hand side, you have a male and a child. So pedophilia also is put under the umbrella of love is love. And unfortunately, there seems to be a lot, I don't want to say a lot, but at least some pedophilia that is hidden in high levels of corruption. And something is wrong with this, and you will see where this leads us. But we have to understand that there's already a small push towards this. Because if love is love and morality is relative, then why not? And you want not two men, two women, then why not with a child? Then if the child is 14 years old and the child consents to this, the child wants, especially if they watch a lot of stuff on social media, and the child wants, what's the problem? He wants. He wants to have sexual intercourse with a 50-year-old. If the child does not want, people will step back and say, no, this is wrong because he does not want. But what if he wants? And especially we are brainwashing the kids at a very young age. And that's currently what is happening. This was spotted in Denver. Again, you have a male with a child, and it says, because love is love. Once you step down from absolute morality, you can do whatever. And if God does not exist, okay, let it be. Because everybody has truly their own way of looking at things. But if God does exist, as we have seen, then no. There is right, there is wrong. There's a proper way of doing things. So what we will answer today is this. Is homosexuality natural? And is it moral? Are these things the same or are they different? Are homosexuals born this way? Homosexuals do not choose to be like this. At least one type of them, and we'll tackle that one. And can homosexuals change, which is the last one? And we'll see some scientific evidence, you know, that could add up to the video that we have just seen. So first, I want to clarify, because for some people this might not be clear. There are two different types of homosexuals. So there is the type like Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible, where people choose to do this for fun. So a man that had a lot of sexual intercourse with women, he's fed up, wants something new, and he delves deeper into sin, right? And this could happen today. But most often than not, that's not the homosexuality we speak about. So as parents also, we have to be careful, because when I talk to my kids like this, oh, the Bible says, Sodom and Gomorrah says, look at this. We have to understand, sometimes we don't understand that there are two different types. So my kid is living in a different world where he's told that the homosexuals are born this way. When he is told that, you know, they don't get to choose. And I'm just pointing the finger and I'm accusing as a parent. What will happen is my child will think that I am the one who has been washed. I am the one that does not have, you know, a sense of pity for the others. I am the one who is lacking love, because he sees a different reality in his own world at school. So when we speak about homosexuality today, we don't speak about the Sodom and Gomorrah style. We speak about people really that are stuck in a disorder that is called homosexuality, right? And we have to deal with this. So everything that we do, in the same way that we look at someone who is a sinner, like how Christ would look at a sinner, he would look at myself, he looks at me with compassion. He loves. And he wants healing. In the same way, our Christian approach to any homosexual has to be that way. And by the way, for the record, there are homosexuals in the church here. Like, I know a handful. Just today, actually, I heard something, anyways, in confession about something related to this. So this stuff exists. It exists here in the church. In every Coptic church, you'll find at least a couple. This is real. And you always find the root cause of the issue. So everybody that I know, after discussion, we can pinpoint together where or what caused this. Although they are not born this way. So this is a very heavy cross for them to bear. So we never come from a judgmental perspective, but always from loving, caring, and seeking their healing, and encouraging them not to practice this, because it is sin. So we have to be careful that when I teach, when I speak to my children, that I have to be sensitive, right? So first, is homosexuality natural? So first, we have to understand what natural means and what's the logic here. So people, when they say these things, they want to couple or join together the idea of natural with the idea of moral. Meaning, if homosexuality is natural, therefore it is moral. So leave me alone. But we have to understand, first and foremost, that we as a humanity, we are not currently in the state God designed us in. So even in the Church Fathers, when they speak about the natural, they speak about the natural tendency of a human being today, this is in the fallen state of humanity. When we do science on the fallen state of humanity, the current state of humanity, not the original one, not the recreated one, the one that we want to go back to. So we have to keep that in mind. So natural is something that has to do with the fallen state. But first, I will show you that it is not natural. But before showing you that it's not natural, we have to understand that it's definitely not moral. So what do I mean by this? So let's say we have two people that are fighting. Okay? So if someone comes right now and hits me very hard or punches me in the face, what will naturally happen inside of me? Will I get angry? Yes. Naturally speaking, I will get angry. And my natural reaction, being in my state, is to punch the person back. That's the only thing we should expect. But is this the moral thing to do? No. So, for example, again, you're at home, a wife slaps her husband. Her husband naturally gets angry and the reflex to hit back. That's what's natural in the current state of humanity. What keeps, should the man hit back? Of course not. Why not? Because it's the moral thing to do, not to hit back. And we see this all the time in children. You know, two children are fighting. He pushed me. They're using this as an excuse to push back, to hurt, because someone else started. He told me this, so I had to push him. You understand? Again, that ugly example that I gave before, a group of men see a woman like downtown that is half naked. In the current state of humanity, without any type of morality, the reflex would be like if someone doesn't hold themselves, especially if they're addict, they can do things they shouldn't be doing. But morality, that's what's natural. Morality keeps humanity from doing that what we know is not right, although it could be considered natural. So, first of all, homosexuality is not the moral thing to do. There is God, there is absolute morality, He designs us in a specific way, there is diversity between the man and the woman. The child who's being brought up needs a male figure, needs a female figure in the bringing up, as you'll see later on in the slides, scientifically. So it is not moral, regardless if it's natural or not. Not everything that is natural is good. That's the whole point. Not anything that is natural is good. But going even more on that point, homosexuality in itself is not natural. Okay? So first, maybe at 10 years ago, what you see here on top, these were the approximate percentages of homosexuals in the world, people that declared themselves to be homosexuals. So one male every 35, about 3%, the female about 1.5%, overall it was between 1.7 to 5%. Today, in Gen Z is the generation between 10 years old and 25 years old. Gen Z up to 35% say they are homosexuals. If we know anything about evolution, it's just natural evolution within humanity, regardless of, I'm not talking necessarily about physical evolution, but any type of evolution, there is no way you can jump from 5% to 35% in 5 to 10 years. Evolution is usually something that is very slow. That jump is there because people are confused, and they're confused because of the teachings that they hear. Maybe you're homosexual, maybe this, maybe that, like this last guy in the video. It's obvious that it's not natural, it has not been gone through evolution, right? And very, very simply speaking, so simple, if homosexuality was natural, then the genitalia of both men or both women will be able to reproduce. It's that simple. It doesn't need like Sherlock Holmes to figure this out, right? If it's natural, then the genitalia will lead to reproduction. But it's not. It doesn't happen. It's that simple. So it is not natural. And if I do follow that logic, that what is natural is moral, in that case, two men. And here I'm just speaking purely logic for the sake of us teaching our children. Two men together naturally cannot have children, and therefore they should not be able to adopt children. Because again, the idea is if it's natural, then it's moral, which we already saw that it's not synonymous. But assuming it is, then if two men cannot have biologically, naturally, a child, then they shouldn't adopt a child, right? Following the same logic. I don't know if you follow me. But the idea is, no, when it comes to government, when it comes to all of these things, what they promote is, no, let them have children, right? Let them adopt, and so on. So they would not even stick to their own standards. Another point that is very important that the kids hear a lot, and the youth especially, is this. Since animals engage in same-sex sexual behavior, therefore homosexuality is natural. Okay? So if animals engage in same-sex behavior, therefore it's natural among animals, and because we also are animals in their perspective, then it is also natural among humans themselves. But that's not actually what happens. If you dig a bit deeper into the research, that's not what happens. So we know that animals don't have the same intellect as we do. So they have a certain level of intelligence, and they're their decisions are mainly based on their instincts, right? But they don't have that intellect that gets to differentiate between that instinct and the other. So their way of communication is very limited, not like ours. So I'll give you a few examples. This type of cat is called a tomcat. The tomcat has trouble differentiating between the hunting mode it is in and playing with its own kitten. So sometimes, and this actually happens, if this cat was hunting something, right, and the hunting instinct still was not put off, and the kitten that is around her happens to make the same type of noises and same movements as the prey, the tomcat often kills its kittens. Even it goes to the point that it dismembers the kittens and maybe even eat its own kitten. Okay, because they have, again, instincts. They don't have the same kind of intellect that we have. So what we see in animals, for example, these are called bonobo monkeys. They, before getting into a point of friction, so let's say they're in a cage, you throw a banana, you throw a box, you throw anything that they want to play with, what happens is that before or after being aggressive together because they want to fight for that object, they often touch themselves in their genitalia or do any kind of sexual, homosexual behavior. So the behavior itself is there. It's also there in dogs. Dogs, homosexually, they have some sort of intercourse, but it's not out of sexual attraction, and that's the whole idea. It comes from the idea of dominance when it comes to dogs. So one dog wants to show his dominance over the other so they can mount on top of the other dog and do his thing, right? But it's only a show of dominance. So scientists say this. This man, his name is Simon Levy. He's probably one of the first ones, if not the first ones, that looked into the DNA. If there's a specific gene that leads to homosexuality. And the man himself is a homosexual. He is a homosexual. So he says this: although homosexual behavior is very common in the animal world, it seems to be very uncommon that individual animals have a long-lasting predisposition to engage in such behavior to the exclusion of heterosexual activity. So what he's saying is that although this behavior is there from the dog, from the monkey, or whatnot, when it comes to procreation, that same dog or monkey will have heterosexual tendencies, right? Or orientation. So thus, a homosexual orientation, if one can speak of such thing in animals, seems to be a rarity, right? Dr. Antonio says, properly speaking, homosexuality does not exist among animals. For reasons of survival, the reproductive instinct among animals is always directed towards an individual of the opposite sex. So without doing too much reading, there is something called homosexual behavior in the animal kingdom, but it's not done for reproduction. The homosexual orientation Meaning if someone is or the animal is really homosexual or heterosexual, is always heterosexual. There's no animal that is homosexual, that has a homosexual orientation. It's only in homosexual behavior. So this idea that comes that, okay, since homosexual behavior is in animals, therefore it's natural, and therefore humanity also can do this type of thing, is wrong. It's just simply not true. Yet you'll find kids, you'll find youth, you'll find teachers teaching these things. And therefore we have to be aware that no, it's a behavior, it's not an orientation. So for the first point, homosexuality is not natural. And the most basic thing to look at is genitalia. And the animal kingdom does not show this. And even if it was natural, it is still not moral. Because we are intelligent beings and we follow a God that sets a morality. So are homosexuals born this way? That's the second question. So there's a lot of scientific, some scientific studies done on this, but one in particular is very, very interesting that sheds a lot of light on this issue. So what they've done is that they took identical twins. Some of them have the same DNA. Some of the identical twins have mainly the same DNA, but there's an average of 5 mutations in the 3 billion letters. Okay, so generally speaking, they pretty much almost have the same DNA. And some of them do 100%. So the idea is this. If you have, and these are identical twins, right? So if you know the sperm comes in the egg, creates a zygote, right? The sperm and the egg together, it's a zygote. And then these twins is when the zygote divides in two, right? So you have two of them that have the same DNA. So the idea is, if homosexuality is something that happens naturally, therefore in the genes, would you be able to have 2 identical twins and one is a homosexual and one heterosexual? The answer is no. If you look at all the identical twins and both of them are always heterosexual or always homosexual, then in this case you start building evidence that yeah, maybe people are born this way. But the results are this. So out of the males, you had only 3 out of 299, almost 300, monozygotic twins that are both homosexuals. So it happens. But you have 24 out of 299 monozygotic twins where only one is homosexual. So you have 2 twins out of 300, you have 24 pairs. One is homosexual, the other one is not homosexual, right? And 24 is 8 times 3, right? That's in the males. In the females, we have the same number or approximate number. 3 out of 561 are both homosexuals. And you have 19 where only one is homosexual. So something else is going on here. People are not born this way. It's not something that happens within the DNA. So again, going back to Simon Levy, the homosexual scientist, he says this. It is important to, and this is a very important quote, because we hear, or the kids hear, the opposite all the time. And he says it himself. It is important to stress what I did not find. I did not prove that homosexuality is genetic, or find a genetic cause for being gay. I did not show that gay men are born that way. The most common mistake people make in interpreting my work. He says it flatly. Yet you will hear always the opposite of this. Dean Hammer, a geneticist, says this. These genes do not cause people to become homosexuals. Ultimately, it is the environment the environment, the way people are brought up, that determines how these genes will express themselves. And here he was speaking about sexual orientation. Now, there's another field in science that is fairly new, that is extremely important, so important. And that's called epigenetics. So anybody that says these kind of things, that people are born this way, knows nothing about science at this point. They have not done any kind of research. Epigenetics in itself proves that things are not only dependent on DNA. So epigenetics is the software, if you will, of the DNA. So if I use my phone as an example, so my phone, you have the hardware, right? You have the phone itself, you have the screen, you have the chip inside, all the hardware in it. Like right now, my phone, like Apple, wants to download iOS 16 point something, whatever it is, right? This is the software that makes my phone work in a specific way. Once I download this or upgrade the software, like iOS 16, for example, the phone looks very different. The functionality of it could be very different. Epigenetics talks about this. So although the DNA inside the human being does not change, like the letters are the same, this DNA is expressed or not expressed depending on the software. So the letters are the same, but whether this specific letter is expressed or not is based on the software, right? What is the software? The software is the environment. For example, there was like one article that was saying that they identified specific markers of epigenetics, epigenetic markers. So like things that made the DNA be expressed or not expressed that were related to homosexuality. And these epigenetic markers happens through the environment, not through if someone is born this way or is not. So speaking today about something called like nature versus nurture, nature here is the DNA, nurture is the environment. It's not nature versus nurture anymore. They're both together combined. And the danger here, by the way, also epigenetics, something that is very good and bad at the same time, depending. Some go to the point to say that with my own decisions, my own actions in my own life, that changes the expression of my DNA within me is passed along to my children. For example, someone is drinking a lot, becomes an alcoholic. Things happen in them, epigenetic markers, right? And my kid could be more prone to be an alcoholic because of my own decisions, right? So that's why we see some, like the father gets angry easily, the son could also be get angry easily. The father is impatient, you find that the son or the daughter also could be impatient. Like we see that these trademarks in the behavior of the parent is passed on to the children. It's easier for the children to be prone to this. And therefore, every action I take and decision I make regarding my own behavior dictates what I give to my child. So this idea, again, of DNA or nurture versus nature is not applicable anymore. So it's very clear that homosexuals are not born this way. And like I told you earlier, everyone that I know of, when we speak on a personal level, we can find the root cause. This one person that I love very, very much, very much. And haram, like this person is like in the middle of the world and society and confused. And we try to clear up things for that person. And when that person lives a life of repentance, God is there, God is present, there's unity with God. there's love, like, but when the person relapses into sin, it's a completely different story, and there's a real struggle that is there. And that person in particular, it took a while to figure out what the problem was. It took a while. And some were much easier. But I think that that person also is coming to realize what brought this to happen. And I think, you know, thank God, and this is one good step forward. And hopefully that's the beginning of the healing process. Right? So it's not a matter of people being born that way. And often things happen when you're very young. Often it happens when they're very young. And you know, most of the personality, or the main factors of the personality, is built in a child at a very young age through the environment that they are in. So homosexuals are not born this way. Homosexuals do not choose to be like this. If we speak about the second type, right? So it's a bunch of different things or causes that lead to this. So I'll show you some of them. So one of them is heredity, in the sense that someone could be more prone to become homosexual than another person. Whether if their parent is like this, for example, or there are specific causes, whatever it might be, right? But some people could be more prone to this. But that factor on its own does not make the person homosexual. And the proof is that they can change, right? Another one is temperament or the character. And we see this, I see this. And you'll see it too. You know, you look at, let's say, two girls walking together, they're holding hands, you know that, and they are lesbians. Often you see one of them is very big, very tough, right? So even the physical body, the shape of the body, could help to bring to this, right? An artistic child, someone that is hypersensitive, right? A masculine girl, a feminine boy. Yanni, there's someone that I have in mind where, like, you know, we find potential danger for the future. Like, he's a feminine boy. There's reasons why he's a feminine boy. Like, anyways, Yanni, don't want to say too much information. But things led to this. But the person, you know, Yanni, he is still young, hopefully. We can recover, and there were some mistakes from the parents' side, whatever. But yani, these things are clear. You start seeing them even in our own congregation. Hetero emotional wounds. For example, a daughter that hates her dad and hates her dad so much. And maybe also she had some other male figures in her life that did not treat her well, boys in school. All of a sudden, one thing after the other, she says, like, not she says as if it's a choice, but something happens in her where all boys all together, I'm done. And then she's pushed towards women, right? Homo emotional wounds is the opposite. So a son that does not have a dad, so let's say the dad passed away, or the dad is not, even worse than that, because this is not that big of a deal, compared to a dad that is alive but absent, works a lot, does not care, does not show emotion. So this is homo emotional wound. So there's this male love that we naturally seek, but I don't have, and there's this emptiness, right? And again, if I'm a feminine boy, and then I'm not able to have friends that are male in any community, and I'm being bullied by them on top of that, all of these things together lead to homosexuality. And unfortunately, because the world is so drowned in sin, and parents are not doing their job. Parents, more and more, not saying all the parents, obviously, like you're here because you're doing your job, but most, not most, but it's increasing, the number is increasing that parents are not doing what they gotta do. It's leaving this emptiness of love in the children. And that becomes, you know, quite scary because it leads to very negative ramifications. And especially if these changes are expressed in the epigenetics of all of humanity. So when we let sin abound, what happens? Epigenetics leads all of humanity to become worse and worse, to the point that sin becomes complete, to the point that God's creation is gone. You know, this is a side note, but you know, when you look at the Old Testament, for example, about Sodom and Gomorrah, and if you read the text, it's disgusting. If you read the text, the angels are walking in, and they're like, they appear as male figures, and everybody in the city is saying, oh wow, there's new flesh, and they want intercourse with them. Lot, Bardo, I don't know how he was thinking. Like, look at the depravity of the mind because of sin. He says, no, he don't do this. Here are my virgin daughters. Like, anyways. But they rejected the virgin daughters. And it's all of them. Like it's the sin is so deep in them. It's not a matter of choice anymore. There's a reason why God says, enough. Day of judgment. I have to remove these people. Because if he doesn't, what happens? It propagates to others. Even the children. But why the children? They're so innocent. Yeah, they're innocent. Actually, God destroying the children is mercy, not judgment. Now, if you think about epigenetics, and you look at that society, these cities, you could only imagine what the children will do, not maybe, they will do. It has gotten so bad. So God, out of his mercy, says, no, they're not going to live this type of life on earth. You get the idea? So also as Christians, our objective that God gives us to be the light of the world and to speak up is a necessity. When we don't, things propagate and they will not end well for our children and for the next generations. Body image wounds. Again, if a girl is short, is fat, doesn't find herself pretty. I know one person, and she's a girl. Believe it or not, I'm sure there are many factors, but the main factor in her life is because she was fat and she was bullied like crazy at school. Bullying, like it was nonstop. And it caused her trauma, and that led to her becoming a lesbian. Sexual abuse is a big part of it. I think we heard it also in the video. So the idea is when you have 2-3 of these points here, these incidents that happen, it pushes someone towards homosexuality. So the person is already in so much pain, especially if they're Christian. You know, think about it for a second. You know, looking at back 20-30 years in Egypt, and especially, let's say, in Upper Egypt. Forgive me, but, you know, just out of the lack of knowledge, when parents would tell their child, "Intahbal, anta bish fahem, ويتضرب هنا ويتضرب هنا ومش عارف ايه, like بابا مش موجود, like can all of this stuff lead to homosexuality? Yeah. And we should not be surprised that they're found in the Coptic Church, as if the Coptic Church is like, Coptic Church is a wonderful church, one of the most, if not the most strongest church that exists today and in the first 5 centuries. Still, they're there. And we really have to care for them and love them. And the unconditional love of God has to flow from us to them. But it's a difference between showing them unconditional love and accepting their behavior. So everybody that I deal with, they know very clearly that I really love them. And if it's a guy, I hug him. No problem hugging him, obviously, right? We hug, we care, like we take care of each other. However, we never accept such actions. So we have to be wise to be able to find the balance between loving and caring for them, but not accepting that behavior. You know, if someone decides to go get married outside the church, like, I'm not going to go to his wedding, obviously. Right? There are certain things in between that could be a gray zone where we have to be very wise in how we act. Sometimes also because society is teaching those people to be courageous and to stand for their rights and so on. So they want to come into church sometimes and impose the way they do things. Right? And although we lovingly accept them, we do not agree. Because today, if this is allowed in the church without any kind of control, then it will propagate. And in today's society, you know, people will believe this more and more. And whatever is here often leads to actions, right? So social wounds or peer wounds, I spoke about this, so rejected from same-sex colleagues. Cultural wounds as well. So cultural wounds here was described by the last person you saw in the video, where he was saying, homosexuality has never crossed my mind until people told me that I'm homosexual. Because I wasn't like a, you know, he's a big black guy, you know, so he's like, the stereotype is that he has to play football, right? But no, he likes dancing, he likes singing, so it's like, oh, you must be homosexual, right? And then to the point that he started believing it, he's like, maybe I am. Especially if the person, if you notice, the person was hurt. His father rejected them. Then other male figures abused him. Or whatever it is, I can't remember the details. But there was many things that happened to him. And then this idea, this is where the cultural wound comes in play. This idea comes and he says, oh wait, maybe. And because the person tries to find themselves and God is not there, so they try things. And this happens. And for example, like, I'll give you to what extent. So someone that I know and that I really sincerely love very much. This person is homosexual. But because of the influence of society, not only is the person homosexual, but also practices homosexuality. Like, I mean, has sexual intercourse. So when I speak to the person, I ask her, okay, I understand what you've been through. I understand your homosexuality. But please explain to me, why are you active? Like, even a heterosexual person, right, and is not active outside of marriage. I know you're not going to get married. But why are you active? And when the person thinks, they realize it's because of society. Because society teaches them that it's okay for you to be like this, and at the same time, it's okay to be active. And in reality, and there's a reason why I took so long to get here, right? So from the Big Bang, all of the stuff, there's a reason why, because, and you'll see, in a second, you know, and next week as well, if God does not exist, so if I look at the whole picture altogether, so let's say God does not exist, therefore absolute morality does not exist, therefore I can do whatever I want, then this is okay. That in itself makes sense. You know, like if you look at it from a wholesome perspective, right? The combination itself makes sense. But what's the problem here? Is that the foundation is wrong. God does exist. If God exists, absolute morality exists, and therefore this is not right. What happens often today is that, again, because the youth don't get to think, they're just brainwashed, they say things like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I believe it's okay for homosexuals to be homosexuals. It's not a sin. Habibi, how did you put that together? Explain to me how you put that together. You cannot be a Christian and believe in God who is intelligent, smart, who designs, we are created in His image, and there's absolute morality, and at the same time say it's okay. It's logically very flawed. But that is what is happening. The church, and again, we're putting a lot of effort on this, including this program, for us to teach them, no, that's not how you think. Does God exist or not? If He does, then khalas, it's done. So like I said, a single factor does not cause same-sex attraction disorder, although they don't call it disorder anymore, but many of these factors. Can homosexuals change? We know the answer to that, and it's yes. But I'm going to show you, forgive me, there's going to be a lot of reading, but I think if you are interested in the topic, hopefully you'll be interested in these conclusions. So this is from a study called Prevalence and Stability of Sexual Orientation. So it says, evidence to support sexual orientation stability among non-heterosexuals is surprisingly meager. Meaning, among homosexuals and bisexuals, bisexual is someone that can like both genders, okay? The stability of the orientation is surprisingly meager, meaning they're unstable. Okay? So here in this study it says, support for the instability of sexual orientation is far more prevalent in both adult and adolescent populations. Among the 14% of Dutch adult males who reported ever having physical attraction to other males, about half of them, 50%, noted that these feelings disappeared later in life. So people that had same-sex attraction, 50% about, these attraction disappeared in life. Here, to explain this a bit better, in more detail, they talk about five levels. So you have fully heterosexual, so you like the other gender. You have fully homosexual as the opposite. You have in the middle bisexual. Here, this is heterosexual, so? Yeah, okay. So this is mainly heterosexual, right? And this is mainly homosexual. So you have five of them, right? So when we speak about becoming more heterosexual or like going on the spectrum of heterosexuality, is someone that is going from one step here to another, or here to here, and so on, or vice versa, right? So here it talks in that study that some homosexuals went to complete heterosexuality. So this means whether here, completely homosexual, or mainly homosexual, these two became completely heterosexual, right? So out of the males, almost 30%. That's how unstable it is. So you're not born this way. Yes, you don't choose to be like this, but there is healing, there's change, like we saw in the video. Females, 34%. movement towards heterosexuality, meaning from one notch to another, regardless of where you start, right? Out of the males, again, 33%. Out of the females, about 42%. This study is very interesting because it studied youth between 12 to 17 years old, where things are very unstable, right? And look at the findings. So this is for the males. It says, of those who with any same-sex attraction, 50% move toward a more heterosexual identity. Of those with any same-sex attraction, 43% lost all same-sex attraction, becoming completely heterosexual. So in the matter of 6 years, 43% became completely heterosexual. That's almost half in 6 years. It changes a lot. Why does it change? Because environment is the main factor. If someone is lacking male love, lacking female love, and then finds this love and it's unconditional, things change within. There's healing. Of those who initially identify themselves as completely homosexual, 25% move toward a more heterosexual identity. This is an interesting one. It says, of those who initially identify themselves as completely homosexual, 11% or 3 out of 28 change to completely heterosexual just 2 years later. 2 years. Went from one end of the spectrum to the other. Okay, I think, and some of them move towards becoming more homosexual, but they're much fewer in numbers. So like the last point here, it talks about 4.1% move toward a more homosexual identity, because also things could happen at any age. Okay, females, I don't want to take too long, but it's about the same. So you find here 47%, 41%, 57%. So you find that the changes are there again within 6 years range. From completely homosexual to completely heterosexual, 29%, 2 out of 7. It's not a lot, 2 out of 7. Just in 2 years, okay? So we get the idea. And that's another study, but it's not the study is not the best, so there's no need to look into it. It was not done properly from a scientific perspective. So we can just skip it. But the idea is that they change. They do change. And they're not born like this. And our kids have to understand this. Our kids sometimes are so confused. They really are. It happens, you know. I take someone's phone because I like to confiscate phones in a talk. If someone is like, if any of you had your phones, I would confiscate it from you, like I do with the kids. Okay. And I confiscate phones, and then like, you know, the phone rings, and you find, you know, in the contact, you know, next to the name, there's the rainbow is there, you know. So the youth is like putting the rainbow, like saving the contact with the rainbow, like as if it's normalized. Yani, what's the problem? Complete confusion. So these things we have to know, and we have to teach our children. We do so obviously in Sunday school, but the more we repeat it, the better. And I hope I give you enough tools to work on this, because whatever is in here needs to be translated in our actions. So in conclusions, it is not natural. It is not natural. And even if it was, it is not moral. No one is born with a homosexual orientation. There is homosexual behavior in animals, but there's no homosexual orientation in animals. Okay, so it's not natural. For some people, it's a lifestyle. No one chooses to have same-sex attraction, so certain factors lead to this. And people can choose to change and to become heterosexual once again. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.